AFC North, usually a very competitive division. It's Vinny and Haney, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw here to talk about the Cincinnati Bengals, probably the team that challenges the Ravens, we think, for division supremacy. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. He's on the WKRC. He's from WKRC 12 in Cincinnati. Welcome back, Richard Skinner. Richard, what's happening? How you feeling today?
Doing well. I heard the promo for Pickles Pub, by the way, and that is a must-stop for me every year I come to Baltimore. I'm not lying. It is absolutely fabulous.
Well, you get in that WKRC 12 Learjet, you get on down to Pickles, because we're going to be there tonight getting you ready for the Orioles and Mets game. But I know you got...
Sounds inviting.
Yeah, I know you got bigger fish to fry, and we know we'll get to the the Bengals and the drama going on with Trey Hendrickson and their first-round draft pick, but Chase Brown, the running back. And we know about Chase. We know about Higgins, certainly about Joe Burrow. But how much of a revelation was Chase Brown last year? Is that a sign of things to come? Or is this kind of a blind squirrel finds a nut situation?
No, I think they were hoping he would break out at some point. You know, early in the year, Zach Moss was the starter, and he probably played 65% of the time to Chase's 35% of the time. Then Zach Moss got hurt, and you know, Chase became the main back by default with really no backup plan to that. He got literally almost every touch. And over the last eight games that he started, he missed the last regular season game, but the last eight games he started, he had 900 yards from scrimmage. Again, you extrapolate that out, that's almost a 2,000-yard season. The Bengals' single-season record for yards from scrimmage is just shy of 1,800 by James Brooks. So that puts him in some pretty rarefied air. The only thing is, I mean, he averaged almost 24 touches a game. He's not – I don't think he's built for that from a durability standpoint. But I also think they have ways to create some more bigger plays for him and big plays for him in both the pass game and the run game. And I do think he approaches maybe 2,000 yards from scrimmage if he stays healthy.
Hey, Richard, let's talk about, Trey Hendrickson and Shamar Stewart. The thing with Shamar Stewart is he was, like, evaluating him on film coming out of A&M. He needs as much work as he can get, my opinion. You know, so him missing all this time is bad for the Bengals' defense.
It is. And here's why, you know, and we've had people in town, and they clap back at me on my podcast and different stuff I've written about, oh, he didn't miss much. You know, he was always there and he was in meetings. And that's a good thing. Yeah, I mean, he was there for that. But listen, there's a lot of on-field coaching that goes on during OTAs. And, oh, by the way, they have a new defensive line coach who's trying to put his stuff in, and a new defensive coordinator is trying to put his stuff in. And there were a lot of times you'd watch the group run a rep on air against nobody, and they'd stop for a second, and they were talking about doing twists and stunts and showing guys, no, you need to go this way or wait for a step that way. It's one thing to see it, right? It's another thing to do it, and they wasted all spring of him having a chance to do it, and who knows how much of training camp they may waste with him not doing it either.
So how many – question, because the defense sucked last year. I mean, let's just call it what it is.
It did.
So where are the improvements?
Well, I do think up front defensively, I think that Joseph Osai came on late last year. Again, small sample size, but he recorded at least a half a sack in six of the last seven games playing opposite Trey Hendrickson. They're really high on T.J. Slayton, who they signed as a defensive tackle and more of a nose tackleless defensive tackle to fill the D.J. Reader void that they really missed last year. I think they're better and more athletic at linebacker, although we talked about Shamar Stewart not signing. Second-round pick Demetrius Knight is not signed either. Now, he did sign a waiver to participate in OTAs, but I think they got more athletic there. And they got a bunch of corners that they're still trying to sort out. Who are the outside guys? Who's the slot guy? The one place that I'm shocked they've not addressed is a safety position. Yeah. You know, Geno Stone, who played for Baltimore, had a great year a couple of years ago. And Jordan Battle were ranked 136 out of 171. They tied at 136 out of 171 in grade from PFF, ProFootballFocus.com. If you want to tell me one of those guys is going to start, they're going to battle each other, I'm okay with that. But both of them are going to start. And behind them, oh, by the way, they have two kids who have combined for 11 NFL snaps between them in Tyson Anderson and Dejon Anthony. That just seems to me screams, oh, my gosh. Now, maybe there's a plan to move Dax Hill back there. We haven't seen that yet. Dax is coming off knee surgery. He didn't participate in the spring, so I don't know if the plan is for corner or for safety. They've been really coy about that, or if they're going to sign somebody by the time camp comes. So that's a spot to me that still is way up in the air. And I do think they're counting on Al Golden to be the magic man, the defensive coordinator, to fix what's wrong. And I just don't know if the personnel is good enough for him to do the things he wants to do. The only thing is, I would tell you this, I think you guys would agree with this, this defense doesn't have to be great. It just has to be okay. Last year, to your point, it sucked. If it's just okay, there's plenty of firepower for them to win high-scoring games. You can't, though, keep scoring 30 points in games and losing four or five of those like they did last year.
All right, Richard, now I think an advantage maybe now for the Bengals over the Ravens, the only one that I see, might be kicker.
Well, it might be because obviously Justin Tucker's on the suspended list. But Evan McPherson kind of had an off year last year. He was 16 of 22. You know, I will say four of his six misses came from beyond 50 yards, but he's also been pretty automatic from beyond 50 yards. He did miss the last chunk of the season due to a groin injury. Don't know how long that was affecting him, and maybe that affected some of the missed kicks. So we'll see if he has a bounce-back season. But, yeah, on paper, that's a spot, and maybe Holder. We'll go with Holder as well. I don't know. I'm just making that up.
Richard, I on paper, and like being out there for OTAs and minicamp, I mean, I don't see, put kicker aside, I don't see any holes that the Ravens have.
Yeah, no, I mean, you look at the draft, and, you know, during draft weekend, when the Bengals pick came up, a bunch of us in the media room were looking and going, okay, where you go here, the defensive end group that's left is meh. Why don't you go Malachi Starks? And they chose not to go Malachi Starks, right? And then, who, lo and behold, Malachi Starks gets taken by the Ravens. When Jair Alexander got let go by the Packers, and, you know, and he wasn't asking for a fortune. The Bengals need depth at corner. They've got a good group. It's a good group. It's not a great group. Why not kick the tires on Jair Alexander? And listen, he might be a dud, right? I mean, his career might be over, but the Ravens kick the tires, and if he's anywhere close to what he was, that's a heck of a signing. And to your point, you know, it's the Ravens are an outstanding team. Their only bugaboo, right, is getting over the hump in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Now, Richard, what are the Bengals going to do differently this training camp so they don't start, they don't start so poorly, 0-2 all the time?
I think a couple things. Number one, getting Joe Burrow through training camp healthy. I mean, there have been the mitigating factor of him having some kind of malady going into a season, almost every season, including the one year where he had an appendectomy during training camp. So that's one thing. And he's obviously very healthy at the moment. They're changing the morning practices, which I don't know if that means a whole lot, but I think they're trying to do some cosmetic things to change things up as opposed to late afternoon practices. And
Harbs did the opposite.
Did he really?
Yeah,
oh, I didn't know
we're
that.
In the afternoon, 2 o'clock now.
Hey, trust me, when I get home from camp and by the time I get done running a column and observations from a day and it's 9:30 at night, you're like, man, this year I'm like, I can be done by 5 o'clock. I can live a normal life for a change during training camp. But I didn't know Harbs did that. That's interesting to me. The other thing is he's going to let his starters play in the preseason. How much that is, nobody knows. Is it for multiple games? Is it for a game? Is it basically just to pat the fans on the head and say, listen, I'll let the starters play 10 snaps. You asked me for it. I did it. We're good. The only thing I've cautioned fans is if you get a starter hurt in preseason because you played in snaps, don't come complaining to Zach Taylor that he played his starters because everybody's been clamoring for it.
Richard Sinner, WKRC, Channel 12 in Cincinnati. Last thing for you, Richard, you mentioned Zach Taylor. We always get into this time of year. Who's on the hot seat? First coach to do this, usually in a bad way, get fired. Zach Taylor in that territory, back-to-back playoff list seasons for Cincinnati. The AFC's loaded. Is there a mandate to get back to the playoffs for him in 2020?
I would think so. Although this, as you guys know, from watching from afar, is a very patient ownership group. They let Marvin Lewis, you know, come back a couple of different times when it looked like he was at the end of his rope, and Marvin had nowhere near the playoff success Zach Taylor's had. But I think that's probably where we're at. Listen, he changed defensive coordinators. You get a chance to do that as a head coach, and you don't get a chance to do that again. So now it's your neck that's on the line. And I do think if they don't make the playoffs again, unless there's like catastrophic injuries across the board that you just, you know, happens occasionally in the NFL. But if this team stays fairly healthy, I think he does have to make the playoffs to get another season or beyond.
Richard Skinner, WKRC, Channel 12 in Cincinnati. Richard, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy training camp or your last 2 weeks before it starts. And obviously, we'll be talking to you a couple of times throughout the course of the regular season.
You bet. Enjoy it, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Richard.
Heard Richard Skinner, everyone. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. You got the Fun House coming up here in a couple of minutes. But Vinny, if you'll allow me, Tim Strachan passed away at the age of 49. A longtime Maryland broadcaster. Mm-hmm. Of course, and a friend of the show, Tim and I go back to when I was at WNST, when we did the Maryland road trips as a family, when I had season tickets for 13 years, we'd get on the plane, destination, whatever, and would see Tim and Jonathan Claiborne, Johnny Holiday, on the same plane. We'd always make, salutations. And Tim was a longtime friend, would come on the show there and here to talk about the Terps, whatever part of the season it was, however they were doing for sure. And, you know, Tim was paralyzed from the neck down in a swimming accident. He was one of the top quarterback prospects coming out of high school. He was at Peyton Manning's class. And he could have went anywhere, Penn State, Ohio State, all the heavy hitters out of DeMatha were coming after him. And he overcame that, which goes to show you his strength as a man. Got his law degree, as we said, had the long-time career working for the University of Maryland, became part of the Terrapin family as well, married with children, lost his battle with cancer. Tim Strachan, age of 49, gone too soon, but lived the lives of 10 men in the short time that he was here. So Tim Strachan, friends, family, thoughts and prayers from the old Bobster here, and, you know, a Terp through and through, and rest in peace, my friend.